satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 212.
Herf a derf.
We can't call it. Didn't we already call one herf
a derf? Oh, I think we already did. Oh, I don't know. I think I called this derp explosion. This is a really derp episode.
How can you say that? We haven't recorded it yet.
It just based upon how long it has taken us to get this stuff set up and dug out. And me being a clumsy motherfucker and just generally kind of durr.
Yeah, you were fucking shit up.
I am ruining everything forever.
Oh, fuck shit up. Song Wolf was singing along to at my birthday party.
Well, I'm Saverin.
Drop that shit. I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva's sick.
Yep, second week of Concord.
Yep. Well, she, I don't know what her deal is, but it was probably maybe allergy related because, man, we had a cold front come through here and my allergy has been terrible today.
You know, the rain today actually was giving me a sinus headache.
Mm-hmm.
That usually happens to be.
This is what happens when you get old, kids.
This is what happens when you have allergies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's been a week since Fiesta.
Wow.
Actually, 2 weeks since Fiesta.
No. Has it?
Yeah. Because we didn't record last week.
Right, yeah, wow.
Because we were all sick.
And next week we're going to FWA.
Yep. You and I.
Yeah.
Shiva will have to be here and finagle something up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking forward. I'm glad that I'm glad you need help at FWA. That didn't really come across right, but... I'm
glad all your friends abandoned you, and you have no friends, Fuzz, and nobody likes
you.
Yeah,
you have to count on me, Mr. Lowest Common Denominator, who you only barely tolerate.
Yeah, for like 5 years.
Oh, man.
No, it's just a lot of the friends and people that help me out at other cons don't go to this con.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tyrion has not been to FWA in years, and Buck was... It's hard for him to get time off around this time of year because of tax season.
Yep.
And, you know, I do have other friends that are going there. Like, Kyle will be there. The Blotch will be there.
The Blotch.
Probably have a couple dinners with them. And then Ash and Manji and Sparf are all going to be there as well. And they helped me out last year. I wonder if Alfgor is going this year, too, because he'll help me out last year, too. But.
Well, we'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
It'll be my...
If I'm tired, you can massage my buttocks in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, the Ringtail Cafe crew will be there, too.
Oh, cool.
So I can totally hang out with them.
But yeah, it'll be nice. I haven't been to FWA since...
The year of the crash.
Yeah.
Or did you go... Was that the last year you went?
That was around episode 120 or so.
I think that was like 09.
Yeah, that was the last year I went.
Well, this year is...
No, the last year I had wasn't the Moulin Rouge. It was... I forget. It was 010, I think. I think it was 10.
Okay.
Because I remember I didn't like the poster that year.
You didn't like the Moulin Rouge posters?
That wasn't the one that had Rukus's art. It was another one. I don't know.
Was it the Moulin Rouge year?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Somebody else.
Because I really liked Rukus's illustration for the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
But the posters. I don't remember what the posters were. I think it was like a furry in silhouette with torches.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I have all the posters, and I just have it unrolled.
Well, like, I still have in our bedroom the 08 and 09 posters.
Mm-hmm.
The Bonk year and then the Blotch year.
I was like, Blotch did the Safari one, I think, right?
And I have it signed.
Cool.
I was like, oh, you guys are awesome. And they're cool people, so.
Yeah. This year's theme is it's their 10th furry week in Atlanta.
Still in love.
So it's a decade of love. True love. Which is why my mate's not going.
Aw.
Because he's like, love is over.
So he decided he wasn't going to go?
He decided he wasn't going to go, but not because love is over. Love is not over. we are still very much in love. No, he decided not to go because of the cheapest plane flights. He was finding were $500.
Oh, shit. Ugh.
Yeah. So, but a local friend actually advised that he look again closer to the time, even though it's in a few days, because there are occasionally, like, last-minute deals.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, we need to sell a few more tickets on this motherfucker.
Yeah. Basically, if he could get a flight out there and back for, like, a couple $100, that'd be all right.
Be worth it.
But he doesn't have the extra PTO to drive, so... Yeah. It's like you and I will be in the car, but he wouldn't have the time on like Thursday and Monday to go back and forth.
When are we going to head out, by the way?
I really enjoy driving at night. I was kind of thinking of driving. Tyrion doesn't like me driving in the middle of the night, but I was kind of thinking of driving late Wednesday. But it would either be in the evening on Wednesday or very early Thursday morning.
We've done that.
Yeah, so we're good either way on that. And dealer setup starts at like 5 p.m. Thursday.
Oh.
But if we don't make that, then there's probably some time, hopefully, on Friday morning. So.
Yeah.
Also, it's going to be very different this year because the new hotel, the dealer's room is on the fourth floor. So there will be a freight elevator that we'll have access to, so... I don't know how loading and unloading is going to go. It's going to be totally different from what we've done at this con before. So it'll be very much a play by ear kind of thing.
Well, you know, we've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're going to be there in the biggest hotel in Atlanta?
It is the tallest hotel in the Western Hemisphere.
Ah.
So yeah, it's the biggest hotel in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
And it's very large, very impressive looking. But, yep, so that's what we got on the immediate horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exciting.
Yep. And I'll be just taking a quarter off of cons. I'm not planning anything for April, May, and June. We've got so much other shit going on. Then Anthrocon is in July.
Yeah, I was going to say Anthrocon's in July.
Yep.
Yup. Furry cons.
So
serious business. Trying
to think. Oh God, we haven't recorded in 2 weeks, so it's like, yeah, I haven't shared my our tale of horror with the listeners.
This is one of the things that happens when you own a house.
Yeah, so like,
can't just call up maintenance and be like, fix this.
No. So here's like Fuzz's Borg homeowner stories. Was that we had our, like 5 months in the house, and we got to use our home insurance policy for the first time.
Yay!
So I guess we're going to get our money's worth out of that. But yeah, we had the water backed up, flooded, overflowed two of the toilets, and flooded into two of the bathtubs, and poured all the fuck over the floor in two of the three bathrooms. And... The drying the plumber came at midnight and he fixed the problem.
The plumber stalks at midnight.
Yes. I mean, that's how late it was. This shit never happens at a normal time of day. It always happens at midnight on a work night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, middle of the night, the drying company came out, because the plumber's advice, because water gets into the walls, it gets into the drywall, it's very porous, and mold starts growing, which is bad for your health anyway, but in particular, if you're allergic to mold, like I am, then, like he was saying, some relative of his ended up in the hospital because they didn't know about it right away.
Oh, yeah, that's and serious business. Mold allergy.
So they had to cut out, like, the bottom 6 inches of drywall and the baseboards in the middle part of our master bathroom, tiered side of the master bathroom, the third bathroom that borders on the garage, and because that borders on the production room, they also removed carpet and part of the wall from the production room's closet. So, you know, and well, Tyrion wants to get the whole production room recarpeted anyway, and since they have to redo the walls anyway, we're just going to throw in the extra cash to have them paint those sides of the bathroom that they're messing with instead of repairing the wallpaper.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's like a big square cut in Tyrion's closet. out of this really nice plush carpet that we had in there. Now there's like this big square cut out. So that's only the first part of it. And we couldn't sleep in the master bedroom all week while the dryers were on because the noise of the dryers and the humidifiers and the air movers that the drying company brought in, plus the fact that it smelled awful. It
smelled like ass.
Yeah, literally. And Tyrion is also sick. Immediately after Fiesta, he got deathly ill with the fucking death plague that came out of Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't... This is so sweet of him. He didn't want to get me sick. So he didn't want to sleep in the same bed with me because then I'd be guaranteed to basically get ill. And because he was going to call in and then work from home, he basically decided to sleep on the couch all week while I slept in the guest room so that we were both far away from all the noise and shit like that. So my poor maid is like sick and sleeping on the couch all week. And it's weird. Like we hadn't slept in the same bed since before Fiesta because I slept at home during Fiesta. And it's weird. The little things that kind of get to you after a while of just you take it for granted, sharing a bed with your mm-hmm. partner. You don't have to be fucking or just rolled up into each other or whatever, but just
having somebody next to you in bed.
Yeah, sharing a bed with your mate. And he was, this was like extremely contagious shit. So he was like, he didn't want, but, you know, no kissing or anything like that. So, like, I really missed, like, just the little hugs and kisses and stuff like mm-hmm. that for a week. So,
well,
it started to make me a little depressed.
I got the same stuff, though, a little bit delayed. I got it from Tyrion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of did the same thing. Yeah. I was still sort of adjusting to using a CPAP, so I was sleeping in that chair.
Yeah.
So we didn't sleep together while I was sick, and so Panther didn't get ill, which is great because he's very grumpy.
Mm-hmm. And then what's funny was we wanted to, after everything exploded, like we didn't go out to eat together as a couple on Valentine's Day because mm-hmm. it's always super busy. And then right after Valentine's Day was Fiesta, and then we were sick, and then this and that was happening, and just other shit. So on Monday here, we decided we're finally going to go, and we're going to have a nice meal, just the two of us, and we'll ignore our phones. And so we like to go, the restaurant that we like to go to is the Melting Pot on Beltline Road. It's a fondue place. And I pull up there, and I forgot the other thing. So Monday, I started off saying, I hope this week is better than last week. And on my way to work, I stopped at a stoplight. I pulled off my glasses to wipe a little piece of lint or something off the lens. And tink, they snapped right in two, right in the center of the bridge. And so I'm sitting there, stopped at a stoplight, holding these two pairs of pieces of glasses in my hand. Like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? I was like, I can kind of see well enough without glasses to maybe drive to that parking lot and not kill anybody. And then I was like, oh, wait, thank you, past fuzz. And I reached into my armrest, which is where I had tossed my previous pair of glasses, which were in a glasses case. And I had replaced these glasses because the lenses are scratched to hell. So it's kind of annoying to look through. But my prescription hasn't changed that much, so I can see more than well enough to drive and work at a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah, always keep your old glasses. You never know when something might happen to your current pair. And it won't be perfect, but it'll be passable. So I have to... So that already happened. And Monday evening, we're like, we're going to go out and try to put this horrible week behind us. Get to the restaurant. Huh, the sign's covered up, even though it's still turned on. I wonder what that's about. I thought maybe it would have been damaged or something like that. Walk up to the door. As of March 1st, this Melting Pot location is closed. You can go to our next nearest location at address da-da-da, Arlington. And I was like, fuck.
You were evening flip at that point.
Yeah, I was like, fuck that. We're not driving like 45, 50 minutes to the fucking taint of the Metroplex, you know?
Yeah, so you had a rough go of it. So last it was
like,
couple weeks.
It was just kind of like, you know, oh, fuck it. At that point, we were so pissed off, there was no way we were going to be able to be romantic and just have a quiet evening. So we called a couple of friends. That was when we ate with, I think, you and Guardian. Mm-hmm. Was it you and Guardian? Yeah.
At Fridays,
yeah. Which was nice, and it was nice being able to chat to friends and everything like that. But yeah. Just, holy fuck, what an awful week. This week's gone a little bit better. But.
Yeah, the week post-con for me went all right, mm-hmm. but then it's like this week stuff's all gone sideways, but not like in a hugely major way. Mm-hmm. It's just been a long series of little annoyances. Yeah. Like, I had my driver's side mirror stolen off of my car.
That was so fucked up.
And they broke the mounting bracket, which is on the front of the motor.
Yeah.
And I can't find that fucking bracket anywhere. They mm-hmm. want to sell me the whole fucking motor, which is like $100 uh-huh. for this tiny ass plastic piece.
Yeah.
And for the moment, I have it, they have the OEM mirror rigged with packing tape, and it's like the mirror is listening to dubstep on the road. It's just whoa, 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 whoa. It's vibrating like crazy. So it's pretty useless. And my grandpa was in the hospital for a little bit, but he fell and it was just vertigo.
Oh,
but
okay.
He fell. He's 82.
Right.
And then, Dog Rosie is dying of cancer. So.
And that sucks.
Yeah, but she's about the same age that that Clint was when he died, and he was my first dog. Same breed mm-hmm. and same type of cancer. So. Could just be that breed's prone to it at an older age.
Not sure.
Because she's like 13, 14. He was 13, 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that would be the last of the dogs that I've owned. Because I had Clint died when I was like 16, then Princess died 2 years ago, and then
yeah, I remember that.
That was a fucked up week. Fuck.
Yeah.
So I mean, all in all, I'm just kind of glad that it's the weekend. It's all con this weekend. There's a bunch of cool stuff going on. I showed up there today for a little while. Saw some cosplayers and the usual sort of rabble. Wolf Hat was there.
Yeah, I saw you.
I was like 5 minutes on site and Wolf Hat shows up. If you're at Fiesta, you know who Wolf Hat is. Everybody has a Wolf Hat in their life. That one dude who shows up and you're like, fuck, he's trouble. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm going to be there a little bit on Sunday, a little bit on Saturday.
I just want to confirm something on their website right quick.
One thing for sure is they're a lot stricter on access when it comes to the mezzanine and all that. They have people waiting at the top of each stairwell and at the entranceways.
Really?
Doors where the elevators to the guest areas are. Well, I mean, I was going to buy a 3-day pass anyway. But it's one of those, huh, they're really watching out.
Is there a guests list on here somewhere, or do I just have to watch through the whole damn...
I don't know.
Because I'd heard Sylvester McCoy had to cancel.
Ooh, I don't know. But that's this weekend, and it's just, it's all con. It has a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's mainstream nerd. So you have your Star Wars and Star Trek and your brown coats and that's, and some cosplay, and it's all terribly mainstream.
Was it too mainstream for you?
Ugh.
No, it's actually kind of cool because they have like a big variety.
Oh yeah,
of stuff
I think it's weird how they kind of they exile the most of the original crafters and artists out of the dealer's area, and the people in the dealer's room, which is the entirety of the Trinity Ballroom, which is crazy, are all like people hawking. There's some like original stuff. But most of it seems to be, like, the usual kind of stuff you'd find at a Comic-Con or an anime show. Anime convention is kind of disappointing in that way. But, you know, maybe... It also seemed really, really dead, but it was 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, so on a non-holiday.
Right.
So I'm sure it'll be picked up tomorrow and Sunday.
So is it, like, that's their considered their artist alley, I guess?
Yeah, they put, like, all their tables in the mezzanine for the artist alley, which is, like... really, really, really awkward. I mean, the mezzanine itself was like, what, 12 feet wide or whatever? And it's nice and wide and you get huge crowds in and out. When you have two tables on one table on either side, it makes it really hard when people are at the table and you only have like a little bit of space.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah, they make the, oh, wow. That, okay. I was wondering why Sylvester McCoy was canceling. Here's why. Sylvester would need to cancel as he had just got the lead at a film in the UK, and he starts filming on February 23rd through March 28th. And, of course, work comes first. He sends his apologies.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's...
There's that.
It sucks that he won't be there, but it's kind of funny. There's a picture of him here. It's totally shopped. But it's like the TARDIS is all old and overgrown and shit, and he's dressed as Radagast. So it's like nice. They've kind of combined the two, but... Yeah, he was the
and principal they still reason. Have that huge TARDIS at out on the bottom floor.
Well, their theme is fractured time this year, so I guess it fits. They're gonna have a DeLorean there too, apparently.
Oh, sweet. Well, there was that one we saw at Comic Explosion or whatever. The Dallas Comic Con.
Dallas Comic Con, yeah. Oh man, they're getting like 8 million people there this year.
At Comic Con or this one? At all con?
Comic Con. Shatner's gonna be there. Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, but that con was just fucking waiting in lines to touch people.
Yeah, dude, that's a sci-fi con. What do you want?
I don't know. Patrick Stewart in a dark back room.
You just want to rub his shiny head.
Yes. Polish it.
Call me number one. Work the shaft, number one.
So, yeah. So sorry, shaking my head sadly doesn't translate very well to podcast.
Right. Well, so I'm going to share some news on the show here.
Ooh.
We're going to have news break here. So, guy live tweets hospital trip after getting dildo stuck in his butt.
Oh boy.
A Twitter user suffered an unfortunate fate after getting a sex toy stuck. Grawly live tweeted the subsequent ER trip, and it is remarkable. And I guess I'll maybe post this link somewhere, but like, the first one is, yo, guess who has to go to the hospital because he shoved a dildo up his ass and can't get it out? Answer, it's me. And then the next one is just hashtag real talk.
Real talk, man.
And he mentioned Energizer a couple of times. Yo, how long do your batteries last in vibrating dildos? Just so I have an estimate if it will still be going when I get to the ER. And he's had several people reply to him like, dude, are you serious? And like hours later, he tweeted back to Energizer with just like, fuck you, it's still going. And apparently batteries in a dildo will last for 7 hours when stuck in your ass. So just FYI. They basically knocked him out and extracted it. And here's Savin, here's the x-ray.
Yeah, it's about what you'd expect.
Yes. So, yeah, this is where our sex advice comes in, I guess. When shoving a dildo in your ass, have one with a flared base, some kind of string or something to pull it out. You know, or just be fucking careful, because it's one of these vibrating kind that it doesn't really have a thick base on it or anything. It just has, like, the little twisty bit where the batteries go in.
And see, the thing is...
And it just slipped right in there.
Well, yeah, when we pick an item from Adam and Eve, a lot of times when we do so, you know, I make sure it says safe for both vaginal and anal play, because there are some that we've selected that are not butt toys.
Yeah.
We rarely do, given our general clientele, general listener base, but, you know, for the most part, toys are designed for both. But there are ones that aren't.
Yeah.
And most vibrators that are designed for women, they don't need to have a flared base because, you know, there is no Sarlacc that's going to consume the dildo. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
The vagina only goes so deep. And, whereas the anus, you know, just can vibrate all the way back up through your mouth. Oh, my God.
Just wait a couple days and vomit it out. And be sure you don't chip a tooth on the vibrating thing. Diggers have to tell your dentist how you chipped your tooth.
Oh, I'm sorry. The dildo vibrated its way through my body. Because that can totally happen.
But, like, all your stomach acid will, like, burn off the rubberized outer coating. So it'll just be, like, the metal shooting up your esophagus.
It'll be like a T-1000.
And clattering into your mouth. And then it will fucking melt and take your form and kill you. And then be like, have you seen this boy? So I have another news article to share with you, Savern. So this is... This article basically, this sums up Canada to me. Now, and no, I am not talking about the theft of the strategic maple syrup preserve. That was a few months ago. BC woman hits moose on way to visit sister who hit moose. Two sisters from the northern BC community of Kitimat have both had close encounters with moose on the loose.
Close encounters of the moose kind.
Yes, it's a room with a moose.
Release the walnut. Crunch,
crunch, crunch. A month ago, Yvonne Studley, 49, was badly injured when she hit a moose with her vehicle. So last Friday, her sister decided to visit her in Vancouver General Hospital. But sister Connie Everett, 51, also hit a moose and ended up in hospital. So, yeah.
That's... Man, you know, those moose. The thing is, those things are so tall and so huge that if they land on your car, which if you hit them, they will, they will totally, like, crush your roof down. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny that it happened twice to the same family.
It's just one of those, how do you miss a moose? They're like the largest North American land mammal that is not a bear.
Oh, I thought that was you.
Fuck you.
Oh, snap!
This isn't GCC. Fuck you.
Sick. Sick bird.
Only MDefMech's allowed to make fat jokes because he is fat too.
I'm fat?
You're fat. Okay, so we're all fat, but you're not allowed to make fat jokes.
Okay, all right. But pretty soon you'll be skinny because now you've got like oxygen and you can breathe properly.
Oxygen and can breathe and can have energy and probably having like weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see about that. Then I'll be skinny. I'll be like, fuck you. And I'll make fat jokes at his expense.
Yeah, be like, yeah, man. I have to run around in the shower to get wet. Come at me, bro. Oh, wait, you can't because I can dodge you because I'm thin. Boy! Nuge. But not Ted Nugent because he's crazy.
Yes. So I think we should read an email because we've got a bunch of these.
All right.
And not all of them are very long. So we'll just start this one from the 25th.
The 25th.
Diggity Deer Knockcast. I absolutely love the gun puns you came up with in episode 210. They nearly had me on the floor with laughter. Aside from reminding me why I listen to you guys, it got me thinking about how well you can make puns, particularly pony puns. I've seen a lot of people write in saying something like, sent from my eye hoof, at the end of their email. The pun is just confusing. Is that an iMac, iPhone, iPod, iPad? I beseech you, please make better puns for dim bronies. Kylie Rouge. Sent from my barn doors 8 PC.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed our gun puns. That episode was a blast.
That was, you know, it was a direct hit. People really thought we hit the mark. We took out those concerns with just sharpshooter accuracy.
You're really reaching.
I really am. Now, I'm really reaching for a gun pun.
Yeah.
No. Let's see. I guess an iHoof. I'm gonna guess it's an iPhone, but it doesn't really. But it's just like random usage of horse
It is, because hoof is just would be a, but it would be similar to hand, I guess. Yeah, and eye you don't hand. You don't have an eye hand
yet. You just fucking wait. There's gonna be implants. You'd be like, "Hey, Shantae, what's up?" You know, you have your thumb has the earpiece, and your pinky has the mouthpiece. You literally are talking like that.
You slide to unlock the world.
And really, when you think about it, ponies couldn't really use smartphones very well. Even unicorns.
Because they're just dumb animals. Okay.
So.
You're just looking at me in horror, like, why did you say that?
Twilight Sparkle's not dumb.
No, Saverin. Ponies can't really use iPhones. Well, nor can they cast magic, or own bakeries, or sew dresses, or fly.
Don't tell me these lies. Why would you say such a thing?
I don't mean to shatter your illusions.
Next thing you tell me that Celestia doesn't raise the sun every day.
Where does the sun hide at night? Do people really used to live in black and white?
Fucking magnets.
I actually have that song on my iPod. I listen to it occasionally with like a couple other hip hop songs because it just fits so well.
Yeah.
I love just the nonsensical lyrics of that. Fuck you, books. We don't need your shit. And all you scientists can suck my dick. It's all magic. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to live forever. R.I.P. Poopy Joe.
We should make that our music break this week.
Okay. So, yeah. Puns are hard. Puns.
Oh, this one's spam linked. Okay.
Yeah, we can delete that one.
Okay.
Because it's spam.
Okay, this one's kind of directed at Shiva. I think that they want Shiva to read it.
Yes.
So we should, because he believes in her. So, oh, and there's another one that's appropriate for Shiva. So I'm going to skip that. Yep. Okay. This one is, subject line is, hey. Hey, y'all. Jacques here. I was at your live show at Furry Fiesta, and I thought it was awesome. I'm now working my way through the episodes while listening. I'm usually doing my architectural studio work at home. I don't know where my accent's going with this.
Good job, Jacques.
I recently stopped seeing someone and I'm taking...
Oh, shit, wait. His name is Jacques. I was calling you Jacques.
Yes.
Because you're using a certain... Oh.
Yes, yes.
That's... This is what I get for not looking at the email while you're talking.
God damn it, yes.
I am terrible.
I'm taking a step back to see what I want to do in the fandom. A fursuit might... The fursuit of happiness might be in my future. What are some ways that are good to get involved in real life with the fandom? I love the cons I've been to so much. All two of them, thanks to my schedule, and I want to do more. I'll be listening often. You guys and gal rock. Jacques.
Well, your first step is deciding what you want to do in the fandom. Do you want to draw? Do you want to write stories? Do you want to do music? You want to draw fantastical buildings and settings for a furry world?
I want to draw the most realistic dog cock known to man.
Well, then you should probably start looking at Lodge.
Or Red Rusker.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not terribly familiar with them.
Well, he draws big, veiny, drippy, gooey, horrifying, realistic red dog cocks.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Just FYI.
I would say that, you know, just figure out what you want to do and just get involved. Draw and post your stuff up to Fur Affinity and So Furry and insert, you know, name of wannabe FA website here.
I mean, the nice thing about the fandom is that you can really do anything. So, I mean, you know, what do you do now? You know, do you write? Do you draw? Etc. Whatever. You know, you could definitely get involved in that. If you want to do fursuiting, sure, you can do that, I guess.
Well, fursuiting is a lot of, like, performance and just being comfortable in being expressive non-verbally because you don't want to destroy the magic, yo.
That's interesting because apparently the fursuit community is fairly split on that, whether you should talk in suit or not. And I guess it depends what your goal is. Some people go for the mascot thing or the overly toony thing, mm-hmm. where they don't talk. And then other people, it's like, hey, I'm just a wolf. You know, and they go for more realism, which you'll want to consider that when you're hiring a suit maker as well. Mm-hmm. And for fuck's sake, don't try to be like, I want to get a super cheap fursuit, but I want it to be awesome. I had this dude contact like 3 or 4 people, including me once. And it was like, how much does a fursuit cost? And I was like, well, for a halfway decent one, probably starting at like $700-$800. He's like, I need a really cheap one, but I'm looking for a really good one. And I've got like $70. And I'm like, then you're 1-0 short of getting a decent fursuit, dude.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, even though the production costs of fursuits might have gone down since there are so many people making them, they're still, you know, this will sound weird, they're an investment. If mm-hmm. this is going to be a major part of your fandom life, it behooves you to spend the money to get a good, proper suit.
Yeah.
You know? And I realize that for some people, that's kind of a scary proposition. Mm-hmm. But, oh, what if I decide that I don't want that character? Then you probably shouldn't be getting a fursuit of them.
And a lot of people get... sometimes people get fursuits of characters that are not their character. Mm-hmm. They're just a character that they created for the sole purpose of fursuiting with.
Yeah.
And that way, there is kind of a separation that you can change your personal furry character. And if you don't get bored with it, you can have your own suit character be something entirely different.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you know, or if your character is not like a super special snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Severin as a character is a Fennec. He has brown hair and green eyes. And that's about it.
Right.
He neither has wings nor a horn nor heterochromia or anything crazy like that.
Or heterosexia.
Yeah, that would be terrible. And so, like, you know, I could totally have, like, a suit made of my character if I so desired, and it would be a Fennec fursuit that I could then resell later
mm-hmm.
if somebody really wanted to have a Fennec fursuit.
You could just run around the con going, yap, 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 throwing scorpions everywhere.
Occasionally screaming and jumping at something.
Most annoying fursuiter ever.
Oh, man, that'd be worse than a squeaker. Instead of a squeaker, it plays Fennec screeches.
Oh, God. Like you squeeze the ear and it's like...
And then there would be a very high-profile fursuit on fursuit violence.
How media. Many people would have kicked some ass?
Yeah, they'd be like, this, it's like five fursuiters held in assault and battery of other fursuiter.
Let's have somebody just escort a suit away for using a squeaker. Somebody was ran up, squeak, 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 and just, dude was like, no, go away. Let's go away.
Unacceptable. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the cons, just keep on going, keep showing up as you can, and, you know, start drawing, start writing, start creating, because you can do it.
Yep. You so. Can be anything, believe it or not. Your turn to read, Saffron.
Okay. Super... Legion Bunny's Super Rushed Email. I really hope you guys get this in time for the show. I just got back from my birthday party. Been busy all week. There's something I really have been wanting to ask. I recently found out why the group of people I hang out with at my college look down on me. They have seen my laptop backgrounds as well as my screensavers, all of which are clean furry artwork. I didn't know about their views on furries until an incident in which I ended up almost getting hit in the face by a best friend for almost letting my anger get the better of me. But people aren't here ignorant that furries even exist. Or, but most people are. Well, I should have realized that that was too much to hope for changing, hanging with the video game and anime nerds. Oh, and don't forget card games. But they know, but that they know isn't a problem. It's what they think they know. They all, except one guy, think furries are into bestiality. Here's the other problem. This group runs on a social hierarchy based on seniority, time spent there. I'm a freshman, and the other guy would be one of the higher up, except he's really laid back and just clowns a lot. I have no problem with this. So I have no pull, and he has no care. Is there anything at all I could do? Stick around and be a normal nerd that just happened to like furries?
Yeah. And I mean, this is, could actually be a good... learning experience. What they call a teaching moment.
Yes.
For you to impart your wisdom to these people that, no, not all furries are into bestiality. Very few furries are into bestiality. I mean, sure, there's some, but there's also, like, some priests are into bestiality. I mean, I wouldn't say all priests are into bestiality, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that kind of stuff exists across all communities in a lot of ways. And, I mean, hell, what was that one Catholic archbishop that was like, yeah, I was totally banging all my priests underneath me. Whoops.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that recent?
That's part of the scandal since the Pope stepped down?
Yeah, since Il Popey. It's Popey! I was listening to that episode of Smodcast from a couple weeks back where he was talking about that. He used to be like, no, I like the furry stuff, but no, I'm not gonna fuck a dog. What the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Just be like, don't be stupid.
Now, don't play that one song, but, oh God, what band is that? It was a fairly well-known band that had, like a hidden track on one of their CDs called Fuck a Dog. And it was an acoustic thing. It was like, I want to fuck a dog in the ass. I want to fuck a dog in the ass. And then they all started coming in. And then it went to, I want to fuck a fucking pirate in the ass. And you're like, me and me first mate. It went really odd places.
I imagine so, for a hidden track.
I want to say it was like Linkin Park or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, just stick around. I mean, he doesn't really care, and you're a noob, so you have to prove yourself being a regular guy. And if people are like, hey, man, fucked any dogs lately? He'd be like, well, have you? You know, it's just something you gotta roll with. Because, yeah, there's still that nerd hierarchy that furries tend to be on the bottom of. And,
oh, it's Blink-182.
So,
I googled it. Sorry, yeah, it's Blink-182. It's called Fuck a Dog.
Kind of gotta just prove that you're a cool nerd like everybody else.
Yep.
So, welcome to being involved in a niche fandom. But hey!
It sucks that people have that misconception.
Yeah.
Of what furry's all about, because we know that's not what furry's all about. Furry is all about getting in touch with your inner werewolf and howling at the moon.
Or finding your spirit animal.
Yeah. Being a Pokemon-kin. Pokekin.
Oh, man. So, anyways, yeah, the best part is just be yourself, and if people give you shit about it, tell them to go, well, fuck a bag of dicks. You can send them to eatabagofdicks.com. And,
wait, is that a real site?
Yes.
Hmm.
There was just this noise from the kitchen. And, if you go to the .org or .net, it takes you elsewhere. But .com, eatabagofdicks.com, you can tell someone to eat a bag of dicks via the internet.
I see. And you can actually enter name or Twitter handle. Let's see. Saverin Drake.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get told to eat a bag of dicks.
Eat it. Yeah, it didn't... Okay, let's stop playing with this website. What is that? Yes, Alfred Drake. Eat a bag of dicks.
Okay.
There you go. Precious, I made it just for you.
Oh, I feel...
You feel told.
I am told.exe. I am Knights of the Told Republic. I am Told Raider.
Okay.
So, yeah, move on to the next email there, Fuzz.
All right.
It's the,
Oh, that one's too long. I'll leave that for you. Ah, there we go. Not Crack. I was the baker of the candy sent to you guys that has now been dubbed Not Crack. It was actually probably not meth.
Yes.
Nope, it wasn't crack, although it's been mistaken before, so no worries. It wasn't made with Kool-Aid, but was made with candy oils, which is why there were a lot of flavors. I provided a link at the bottom to the company I get them from. I'm happy you guys liked it, and if Shiva or anyone else was interested in the recipe or ordering some, have them email me or note me on FA under Laughing Wolf. Happy listener, Laughing Wolf. And it's from Lauren with two L's, oils.com. Cool.
Yes. That was pretty good. I mean, people liked it, and we passed out a good bunch of it, but we still have a fairly large bowl of probably not meth.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should have a piece of probably not meth.
Well, you probably shouldn't eat it while air because it's super crunchy and will be like...
Oh, okay. Sound effects.
Sound effects, yes. So, I'm going to go back to the longer one.
All right.
Okay. I read the first sentence of the second paragraph of this email and was like, what? But no. First time nodding in. Just got a rather interesting relationship math conundrum I somehow let myself get dragged into, followed by silly questions. First off, I met this lovely horse about 2 years ago. I read that and did a double take. At a semi-local fetish party I went to in Orlando. Yeah, I met a furry at a fetish party. What are the odds? We really hit it off almost immediately as he was down-to-earth, kind-spoken, and a daddy to my little girl. Yes, I'm one of those baby furs, enter the gasp to discuss, and the rule number three jokes here, and I'm quite sane compared to many I've met, but I digress. I found out he's an awesome artist, specializing in 3D modeling, who wants to get into doing game art design. Me, I'm learning to code and want to do game design on the other side, as much as we met, so another thing we match up on. And video games. So I feel things perked for me. He was going to help me finish my associate's degree, so over a several-month period, I decided to move down in with him and his two roommates.
Okay.
Dot, dot, dot. The first hiccup was shortly before I came down, as he suddenly got a job in Alabama working for a military base there, doing a combination military simulation game by the name of America's Army 4. I was super happy for him, but that meant he was moving up there, just as half the reason I was coming down was to be with him. Well, short version, he made it up there, loved the job, and we decided finishing school was more important. Plus, he had set me up with a job in the area, so I decided to move in with his former roommates, as the house was still one of their names. Basically, Horse and Roommate 1 are co-owners, Roommate 2 is one's almost husband. And so it's a good area, I thought. So I get to Jupiter, Florida, 2 hours away from my friends on a job that, though it wasn't the best pay, was stable at least. This was about a year ago now. Boyfriend is now a long-distance relationship. The job I got dicked around on for a month, then had to find out about it from someone else. The manager was purposely avoiding my calls, as he was hoping that I'd catch the hint that he didn't want me working there, as he was butthurt my boyfriend put in his 2 weeks' notice that I find I'm too late to get into school. Ooh. I keep a happy face, though my bills start to pile up. Eventually find a minimum wage job working in an office door fixing computers with the promise that I'll go up once my trial period is over. 6 months later, still on that trial period. So making less money, paying more in rent, and it's starting to get to me. My horse is trying to help, but things are falling apart at his job. It seems to, by the time I graduate in December, he doesn't know if he'll even still have a job as a management is running the project into the ground. He's been down since... He's bound in...
Sorry, I'll take my dick out of your mouth, though.
God, sorry. He has been down twice in the almost year I've been here, and both times he was in a stressed-out, grumpy mood, so he really didn't do anything fun. Though I did love cuddling up to him and playing a little Mass Effect. Just he lets his car problems, dog problems, and the fact that both times he was down, my roommates, his former, decided to teach projects to occupy his time, Like the last time we resodded the lawn and put in a new sprinkler system. Ugh, what douchebags. Now here's where I'm been kind of dickish, maybe. We opened our relationship as well. I'm half fox. And somewhere we have needs, so we had two occasional playmates. One is just for fun to snuggle with and is pretty awesome, nothing major there. But have a bit of guilt lately, so ended the fun with him. Other's a tiger I've known forever and is in the area every once in a while. We sort of have this master pet RP scenario, which is fun at first, but he's been downright mean to me lately, as he refuses to listen that I have anyone else beyond him, wanting me to worship his feet, move in with him, and now he has this idea that I'm going to take a live kitten and step on it while I'm going to master. What the fuck?
That suddenly took like a hard right into what the fucksville.
That escalated very quickly. He was great at first, but yeah, that's a bit dark.
Get the fuck you away from this guy. You
don't say. Jesus Christ. Long story short, I love my horse, but what do I tell him so he's not always down and his situation is going bad and he's trying to take all the blame for my situation while he's at it? What do I do about this tiger who's quick to depression / anger, possessive, though I found out he has several pets and obviously getting very dark with his fetishes? Anonymous Embryon. First of all, get the fuck away from this tiger. He's a fucked up psycho. That's really, really fucked up and dark, and not even, like, RP of that is okay in my mind. That is just way too much.
Yeah, that's no. All the no. Forever.
Maximum no. You tell, if he's prone to anger and depression, too bad.
Every master pet relationship I hear about ends up like this, where the so-called master is a fucking power-hungry nut bar.
It is not something I recommend ever. So, you tell Tiger to take a long walk off a very short pier and to perhaps some sharks, and he might get his kinks his rocks off one last time.
And you know, yeah, snap. And, you know, not just the kitten thing, but just everything else he's doing with you, that being mean to you and thinking that you're exclusive with him now, even though you're not, he's not exclusive with you. And that's just, yeah, no, but no, fuck that guy.
Yeah, so there's that. As for your dude, well, you might need to possibly look at maybe going back to where you were. If things at the house are not quite working out, if there's something you can fall out back on while he's trying to finagle keeping a job at a video game development company. That's the unfortunate thing with that is that, you know, video game devs have long hours, shit pay, and get fired generally after the project's done.
Yeah.
It's not long-term employment.
Yeah, so even if the project doesn't get run into the ground, it's very possible that he'll be out of a job after the project's over with anyway.
Yeah. So there's those grim dark questions. Let's see what the other questions.
Okay.
P.S. Other random questions. What are some good books on Kindle? I read Science Friction, which is okay, but disappointing ending. We also recently got Whomper and Mythies by Kelvin the Lion. I don't know. I don't have a Kindle.
Well, yeah, there's lots of good books on Kindle. All Kyle's books are on there. Siani's books are on there.
Are they sold on forplanet.com?
Well, not the ebooks, no, but the physical books are. Kindle books, you have to go over to Kindle store at the moment.
Okay.
And, you know, there's lots of non-furry books out there, too. I don't know if you're looking for furry in particular. Like, I read American Gods by Neil Gaiman. That's a good one. Palimpsest was pretty good, too, by Catherine Valente. But that's... It's a thick book. Like, I don't mean, like, the length of it. I mean, like, the language is very thick. It's one of those very flowery descriptive language where it's like the book is about the world and less about a plot, although there is a plot. But that was one that was recommended through Unsheathed. It's a different writing style. Mm-hmm. I would also check out just different anthologies as well. is usually my go-to recommendation. So I know for a planet, we have like Holidays and the Fortune Teller's Poem on Kindle. Okay. And, you know, so then you've got like a variety of different authors that you could maybe sample, find a couple that you like, and then look for more by those particular people.
Okay. Why are there little to no graphic novels on Kindle? I have the HD 8.9 for textbooks, and it's perfect for comics, but most mainstreams just give me a headache.
Comic formatting has been a little bit tricky for the Kindle. You could get a PDF on there, and you could pinch and zoom on a PDF, all right, but it's not really ideal. Some comic companies, like mainstream companies, have made apps to do it. You could probably format a comic in Mobi format. I haven't tried that yet. I'll probably be looking into it.
This is going to sound funny, but it's like Marvel just put out their Digital Comics Unlimited app, which is called Marvel Unlimited, and they have an iPhone version.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I don't want to read a comic on an iPhone. On an iPad, that'd be pretty badass.
Yeah.
But iPhone's really tiny.
Chief Extreme Pinch and Zoom.
Yeah, it's like if just zoom into one panel at a time.
Well,
you just zoom in. Oh, man.
Speaking of that.
This chick has awesome titties.
I was going to mention that Kindle Format 8 now has panel-by-panel zoom support. And this is part of the reason why you don't see as many graphic novels on Kindle anymore, is that this format is only a few months old and currently only works on the Kindle Fire.
Ooh.
So they are, I believe, going to expand it to the Kindle apps, which means that it would work on an iPad, but they have not done that yet. And since it has such a limited compatibility right now, not a lot of people are moving to it. But one day, the native Kindle format will support like panel by panel zoom on comics.
So you
will have to do a lot of layout work to get that to work.
I just think at some point that the Kindle is moving into tablet territory, which is already better handled by iOS and Android, and it's probably going to be butting up against those guys. So it's
Fire already is a Kindle tablet.
Yeah,
and it's an Android tablet.
I don't know. It's just one of those. It's really good for books, and Panther has a Kindle that he loves and uses the hell out of.
See, that's like an apples and oranges thing. Like, I really love the e-ink Kindles.
Yeah.
For books, because just for reading, they're great. You are never going to find a tablet that is lighter weight or has a longer lasting battery than a regular Kindle e-ink edition. And for reading books, that's great. I mean, there's no glare. You can read it in the sun. You don't have to have a connection. But if you do have a connection, you could download books anywhere because of Amazon's free 3G. And then they did the Fire, which was like the 7-inch tablet. Of course, now competing with all the Android tablets and the iPad mini, which is about that same size, just a little wider. But tablet is like a totally different thing. I don't even know why they call it the Fire, Kindle Fire. I guess to tie into the branding of it, but
yeah, I've always considered it.
Yeah.
The Kindle is a very unique, is a very good discrete device. Mm-hmm. And then when they move it into a pre-existing market to compete against it, it's one of those that isn't nearly as unique.
Yeah, I think the Kindle line should stick to being for books. It has basically one function that it does incredibly well, and that is what I enjoy about it. And then I have an iPad for things that I want tablet stuff for, you know? God, where do we go with that? Another reason why graphic novels don't work on the e-ink Kindles that well.
Yeah.
Because they're all black and white.
They'd be limiting their market to the Kindle Fire, basically.
The Kindle Fire and the Kindle app, which actually more people buy books on the Kindle app on iPads than buy Apple books from the iBook store on their iPads. Kindle's just got the market locked up as far as ebooks are concerned.
That's kind of like how. Anyways, I just got J-Lube. Any recommendations on how to make it more like fake, more fake cum-like, as it's so much cheaper than Bad Dragon Lube? I really don't know. It's not going to have the same opacity. You only need to use a little bitty bit on a little bit of water to get a certain viscosity. You're going to have to basically experiment. But it's not going to be white, like cum lube.
Hmm. That I don't know. I don't have any experience with J-Lube.
Well, I don't either. I'm just thinking of theory.
Yeah.
Last question. How do you get the smell out of a Bad Dragon toy with a cum tube attachment? Didn't clean it for like 12 hours after I used it, and I fell asleep right after, and now it has a funny smell. Autoclave. Bleach.
You know what? I would actually direct that question to Bad Dragon, because yeah. I don't know if bleach would like damage the material.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it's one of those, I don't know, you're going to have to do some heavy-duty disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would direct that. You know, I believe Bad Dragon's website has a fairly active forum.
Yeah.
I would direct that question there. Or
lots of pics of people using their toys, that's for damn sure.
Or I haven't looked at that. Yeah, I should check it out. Or throw it to like their customer service department or something. I'm sure they'd be happy to help you.
Yeah, I've seen some chicks take some pretty big. Yeah. I mean, PPS, less than the first 100 episodes, then started at 190 and caught up to the latest and listened to ones in between at random. Just heard Alex Vance reading Thou Shalt Not Kill. I literally had to pull over as I was tearing up at that ending.
Yes. Okay. I mean, sorry.
Wow, that was a long-ass email.
It was a long-ass email.
Long-ass email.
You have to move the hyphen, dude.
Yep, that's how it works.
Yeah. Okay, so this one I'm going to... I'm not reading all this. It's a poem. I hate poetry. So the question is, what is your opinion on LARP? It's
have fun.
It's silly, but as long as you're not hurting anyone,
yeah. There's a lot worse things you can spend your time doing.
Yeah, it's not for me because I don't role play at all, really. But you know,
I'm the no fun fairy. Fuck off.
Is that me? I'm the no fun
fairy. And when it comes to LARP, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
RPGs, JRPGs, LARPGs, LAPD. I mean, I just don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
Well, I read that one. The question at the end.
You just booted that to me.
Yep.
So, there's another long one. Who is this? Okay. Picky or just a douchebag? Howdy, Notcast. I'm an on-and-off listener here. Before I get started with my predicament, I'd like to thank y'all for making such a fun and interesting podcast, keeping me entertained on my miserable daily commutes to college. Despite some group-wide stumbling of words, you all seem fit enough for radio. Well, thank you. Interstage left. Me. As I have mentioned before, I'm a college student, age 19, as of this month, yay drinking age Canada. Lately, I've been feeling a little lonely, and I can't help but if it's my own damn fault. I've had my handful of relationships, but I've been on a break for about a year now of being single. My past relationships haven't by any means been too stellar, though. My first was sort of more along the lines of an introduction to being gay, and ended fairly swiftly as my partner didn't quite have the patience for me being so naive, and he, understandably, cut off the relationship after about a month. Second was meeting up with another fur online. Unfortunately, he seemed to live his life like a Disney princess in distress, and made it seem as the only way I could save him was being constantly online so I could chat with him for every spare second of my life.
Well, he sounds like a special snowflake.
Needless to say, this one didn't last long. Following relationships since have been usually ended by me finding a quality of the person I felt I couldn't live with, e.g. obnoxious laugh, drastically different tastes, etc. Somewhere in that ordeal was a small friends with benefits stint with a bicurious friend with a psycho ex. Actually wrote into you guys a while ago about that. Don't know if you remember or not. It's this relationship history behind me that's the issue, though. Every now and then I'll meet someone new, but instantly distance myself at once I find a quality in them I can't stand. This process does not take long. The bad part is, it's almost as if I'm trying to find a reason not to date them, as if I'm actively seeking a way to separate myself from my options. I'd like to get started dating again. I have that itch, if you know what I mean. Being 19 does open up options to me and things like possibly gay bars or raves or something similar I might like. But it's like I don't know where to start, and I'm kind of scared I'm going to walk into a gay bar and just give excuses as to why I wouldn't try taking one on a date. That guy's too feminine. That guy looks like a walking wall of sandbags. That one's eyes are too far apart. Stupid shit like that. I try going through some sort of furry meetup slash chatroom thing again, but every time I do, I somehow manage to stumble upon someone who's mentally unstable, which isn't lacking in members in the furry community. No harm meant. Or the
gay community.
But even another local guy I know is a complete batshit crazy, and sadly, a furry. Is it me setting too high demands for my relationship VIP club, or do I just have the inconvenience of not being able to find someone that would be worth dating? You're a sarcastic neighborhood skink and Niagara fur. Niagara Scaly? I don't know. Guy Sullivan. P.S. Loved the lube episode. Keep it up. You guys are awesome. Well, you know that whole line, the only constant in all your failed relationships is you, but I think in this particular case, you just had some pretty bad luck when it comes to people. Yeah, you are being picky, but you kind of have to be in a lot of ways. You know, if you're the kind of person that gets annoyed really easy and somebody annoys the shit out of you, then they're probably not someone ideal for a long-term relationship. I think that it might be good to try to dial back the tendency to seek their negative qualities right out the gate. But it's also fair to be aware of things that they do that annoy you. It's like, give them a trial run and see if you can look past their annoying factors. And if so, then maybe you can proceed a little bit further. But, being picky is kind of important when you're looking at the long term. Plus, you're 19. A little too young to be thinking, in my opinion, this is just me being, me. I think you're probably a little too young to be thinking, super hardcore relationship-wise. You're 19, for goodness sake. Date. Meet a bunch of people, get laid, wear a condom, be safe, and focus on school, and go to your campus, LGBTA, go to your campus gay club, go to, gay bars near the campus. Just be careful.
Yeah, don't start a war at the gay bar.
Definitely not a nuclear one. You're not North Korea.
Yes.
So, yeah, just go to the student union, find the LGBTA, meet fellow gays of your age cohort who may or may not be experienced, who may or may not be giant, messy piles of human, which that happens, but it's always good to have kindred spirits. And, give it a shot. It's just a date. You can date casually. This is something we tell people. They seem to forget.
Also, I mostly agree with that. The one thing I'm going to throw out there is that you're probably not ever going to find somebody that doesn't have some kind of annoying trait or trait that annoys you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In a long-term relationship, you learn to live with it. Or after a while, it just doesn't bother you anymore. Because believe me, Tyrion does shit that is a pet peeve of mine or irritates the piss out of me on occasion. And I know I do shit that annoys him.
Yeah, same for me and Panther, but...
And like I said, you learn to live with it. You learn to overlook it. You compromise on some things, If it's something really important, it's like, hey, can you not do that anymore? And you kind of work it out. I wouldn't automatically look for somebody and fight an issue with them and automatically kick them out of the running. Like Savard said, try people out, go on a couple of dates, take it for a test drive,
Check the tires, check under the hood.
Yeah.
Check that tailpipe.
Vroom, vroom. I'm a squirrel, and this feels great.
American Dad, kids. It's pretty funny. So, yeah, that's about it. I do think we should probably stop and save right now.
Sure.
And pick an item from Adam and Eve. I really need to send out the next invoice for them. They owe us a decent amount of money. Yay, dong money. Okay. So, we will be back, and I'll see if I can't find that Saturday Night Live song
for you. Okay.
Just stick in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking magic.
Yeah! So many confusing things out there. Well, get your magnifying glasses out, ninjas, and take a closer look at life.
The world is full of magical mysteries. Puzzles unsolved since ancient history. Where does the sun hide at night? Do people really used to live in black and white? Is the world round? Is it flat? How come no one can tell me that?
Like, what's with islands? Get more land. What's with deserts? Get less sand.
What is Alaska? Who is Brazil? Isn't a volcano just an angry hill?
How did God even think up dirt? Erasable pants make my head hurt.
Metal, girls, iron, fire.
How'd they get my voice in a telephone wire? Why are pants different than shirts?
And blankets. How did they work?
The world is full of mysteries.
How do suitcases always know where to meet you, huh?
So many magical mysteries.
Are children small or just far away?
Why are so many mysteries?
Ha-ha! Why do some mountains look like presidents?
Stop trying to trick us.
What the f*** is a clock? Now here's just a list of some stuff.
Trees, swans, caves, a horse.
Triangles, witches,
a different horse.
Two horses. The whole world's got 10,000 people.
And Santa Claus created all of us equal. Aztan's kids look just like Aztan. And my two kids look just like Aztan.
So open your mind, but shut off your brain.
The mysteries of life can't be explained.
So f*** you books, we don't need your tricks.
And all you scientists who suck on it's all magic. Life is a beautiful thing.
Ha-ha! Say too fresh. Aztan 2010. Ha-ha! I'm gonna live forever!
And we're back.
Oh. Well, R.I.P. Aztan.
And my two kids look just like Aztan. It's all magic. Okay, they just heard that. I probably don't
need to. Yeah, you don't need to be quoting it.
So let me tell you. So, Savrin, you're new to anal play, right?
Totally. I have never taken a dick anywhere. Ever.
Well, if you don't like taking the dick or having some big, meaty, girthy man's kielbasa ramming in your ass just to get that little whiff of pleasure that you get from prostate stimulation. While the rest of the cock is just tearing you apart, then we have a toy for you.
This is my terrified face.
It is the petite prostate plug.
Ah.
All the prostate pleasure without the massive beer can thick cock of Panther pounding into you. No more prolapsing. Just to get that prostate stimulation.
Cut!
Cut! Okay, so it's called the Petite Prostate Plug, the Triple P.
Yo.
It is basically, yeah, it's for people that are kind of new or inexperienced about doing stuff with the ass, but they want the prostate stimulation. So, hits your P-spot every time. This 5-inch black silicone anal probe's head is shaped and angled for perfect prostate massage. Let the comfortable 1-inch wide head probe away, while the slender shaft's textured nubs stimulate with every movement. Made from silicone, this versatile prostate plug can be heated or cooled for thrilling sensations. Retrieval ring makes pumping safe and easy. It has a little ring at the end. So, okay. See, I got this idea from our...
You don't want that earlier. Shit escaping, and it goes off into the void.
Yep, so the void. The darkness between realities. It's in your ass. Daleks call it hell. But no, that doesn't happen with this. You can just pop that shit right out of there. Well, hopefully you clean up. But this is only 1995. But with our coupon code KNOT, that's KNOT, you receive 50% off and free shipping, which makes it only $9.98. Check it out. That's what it looks like.
Okay. It's nice looking, I guess.
Well, the thing is that it doesn't look like a cock. It's basically...
a thing that you put up your butt that feels good.
Yeah. And man,
it's not a dildo.
You could just walk around all day with it and nobody would know. And, you know, people would be like, "Hi, Tom, how are you doing today?" "Just fine, my prostate is being stimulated. How are you?" It's like, "Ah, I see you have an erection. Jolly good. I will see you at church on Sunday."
So check it out and use our new coupon code.
That's adameve.com. Coupon code is KNOT for a great deal. Again, it is the petite prostate plug.
Yes.
Stick it in your ass.
I was hoping they would have had more alliteration in the description, but I suppose that's something that I only prefer. So
I could say like a cartoon character, be like the petite prostate plug. That'd be like Sylvester, I guess. Let's see.
I think I read the last one.
Use the probe's easy retrieval ring to pump, thrust, or twist to change up the sensations. Once you're a P-spot expert, try heating or cooling this silicon sex toy to feel toe-curlingly hot thrills and chills. This anal toy is waterproof, so go ahead and take it with you for fun in a shower or spa.
Just make sure you use water-based lube, because that shit's silicone.
Wash your petite prostate plug with antibacterial soap and water or Adam and Eve toy cleaner.
Yep. So, speaking of things to stick in your butt, and here's some things not to stick anywhere.
Okay.
For household products, never to use as personal lube.
Oh, God.
Dear KnotCast. So, it's been a little while since I last bothered to write in. Okay, so your shows were numbered in single digits. I had plus one tiger and plus one husky, and less boobs back then. But not much has changed, right?
Hmm.
Meaning our show had plus one tiger, plus one husky, and less boobs.
Yes.
Well, this may be a bit of a wall of text, but I was browsing the internet and ran across this article on one of those mini medical health websites that are all over the internet and decided this was something that, while off topic, is actually kind of good to put out there given the general experimental nature of parts of the fandom these days. Going to try to parse this down as much as I can, but if Shiva is reading this, you might want to pass it on to one of the lovely guys next to you so you don't end up wanting to kill me in about 3 minutes' time. So, as most men are aware, using a lubricant during masturbation and sex not only adds to the thrill of the moment, it can prevent lasting irritation and damage to the skin. On the other hand, not all lubricants are created equal, and although experimentation can be fun, men who choose the wrong products for their solo or group sessions may end up with uncomfortable problems. Understanding the effects of these products can encourage men to think twice before applying them to delicate skin and mucous membranes, and exercise appropriate penis care can help to ensure that the penile tissue is healthy and supple as possible. These four products may be convenient to use, but they can cause more trouble than they are worth in the long run. Product number one, toothpaste. The frothy, minty foam that is meant to freshen the breath can provide a slick substitute for a lube, and some men appreciate the tingle they get from applying toothpaste to the penis skin. Unfortunately, while it might provide for an interesting experience, the end results can be catastrophic for the delicate penile tissue. Dental products like toothpaste contain fine granules that are designed to polish hard surfaces, and those gritty bits can cause microscopic tears to the dermal layers of the penis. In addition, the menthol that produces the tingling sensation can actually burn the skin, resulting in damage at a cellular level, not to mention a good degree of discomfort. Obviously, you can translate this without too much imagination as to what would happen inside somebody else.
Ooh.
don't use that. Petroleum jelly.
Okay.
A tub of petroleum jelly might seem like the perfect choice for a lube. It is slippery and does not absorb easily into the skin, and it also won't run dry at all wrong moment and interrupt the proceedings. It's also inexpensive, and men who are a little shy about purchasing intimate products don't have to worry that they're advertising their evening's plans to the cashier, since it can be used for a multitude of other purposes. However, on the other hand, petroleum jelly and condoms do not react well together. The petroleum can destroy the integrity of the latex, so men who are depending on a condom for protection against STDs or unwanted pregnancy should steer clear. On top of this, petroleum jelly can be difficult to remove. It is not water-soluble, so it can't be rinsed away, and leaving it on the skin and in other places can result in irritation. And it'll clog up your pores and do all sorts of bad things.
Okay. Yeah,
don't use that. Scented body lotion. Body lotions might seem like a smart choice, although they are eventually absorbed into the skin, and they do create slippery surface that can last for several minutes, and the moisturizers they contain may leave the skin feeling soft and smooth. However, body lotions often contain fragrances and other chemical ingredients that can cause drying and irritation, and many people have sensitivities or allergies to some of these ingredients.
If you have an allergy to it, then your penis swells up because of your allergy, you will temporarily feel like a god.
And then you go to the ER.
Yes.
Liquid soap.
Hmm.
The average household has plenty of pourable cleaners such as dish soap, hand soap, liquid body wash, shampoo. These products may be good for removing dirt and oil from the surface of the skin and the hair, but then they may provide a slippery foam that works well for a lube, especially in the shower or bath. However, the same properties that allow these products to clean effectively can end up abrading and drying the penis skin, resulting in soreness, redness, and dry-looking cracked skin.
Also Agent Orange.
Yes. What to use instead? Products that are designed specifically for use as personal lubricant are the smart choice when it comes to easing the friction during any penile encounters. However, men should be alert to the ingredients of these lubes as well. For those with sensitive skin, products that contain flavoring, scents, or warming ingredients are not a good idea, as they can produce a skin reaction. Choosing a water-based, fragrance-free lubricant is often the best solution, or any solution if any silicone-based toy is being used. Although if you're going at it in the shower, nothing beats the silicone-based lube that won't rinse off. Just don't get it on the floor, because slipping on that can lead to a rather embarrassing 911 call.
Especially if you flip around in such a way that you get your cock stuck in your own ass.
It can happen. In between sessions, applying a high-quality penis health cream. Health professionals recommend Man One Man Oil, enriched with skin-replenishing nutrients and all-natural moisturizers, can help to rejuvenate stressed skin and restore its natural elasticity and resilience, promoting a healthy and attractive appearance.
Hmm.
Okay, now that the lecture's out of the way, I should ask a question, since no email to Knockout should be without at least one question. As gracefully aging gray muzzles, how do you go about minimizing the effects of onsetting winter plumage down below? Is regular old hair dye the way to go, or are things simplified by simply manscaping everything into oblivion? Yours helpfully, Kite Phoenix. P.S. If I run across more interesting things, would you like me to pass them along as helpful PSAs? Sure, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
None of us are going gray in an appreciable way.
I have some gray hair.
I'm sure I have some too, but...
You can see quite a bit of mine when my hair is shorter.
But I don't really think your body hair goes...
So I've found, like, one or two chest hairs and, like, one pubic hair that was gray. But in general, no, it's not.
I think when it comes to, like, the hair, yeah, some people will dye that. But for chest and pubic, people are just like, what the fuck ever. If you're going to see me naked, you're going to know I got some white hair.
Yeah, it's like when you get... I don't know. I'm not even concerned about my head hair going gray, let alone my chest hair, my pubic hair. I'm amused that I've got some white hairs coming in my beard now. I don't know. I mean, yes, some people are really concerned about dyeing their hair or worrying about if they get a bald spot and stuff like that. And I mean, I'm lucky that so far I still have most of my hair. And it's mostly not gray, but I don't know. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. I'm like,
kinda, it's one of those things. I'm not trying to impress anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with hair color.
Yeah.
I still have nice thick hair. I mean, it's only slightly starting to recede a little bit on my forehead.
Mm-hmm. My hair's actually always been this receded. It's weird. I know it looks like my hair's receding, but it's actually always been at this.
Yeah.
Level.
But my grandfather, my dad's side was bald by the time he was 20, and my dad's 56, and he still has most of his, even though it's all white. So,
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could manscape if you're really concerned about it. I think they do make dyes. I'm sure they do. But... Oh, I'm
sure. It's probably like dye foam, so it's not like as concentrated or something. Because But because hair dye can actually be pretty harsh on the skin.
Yeah, and like you just said in the earlier part, you know, that area is even more sensitive to skin than other parts of your body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would always advise against it. You know, or at least like try one little patch and
see if you have. Yeah, because I mean, they do have just for men has the beard.
Mm-hmm.
For people that are like all salty peppery and don't think that looks dignified as fuck.
Right. Which I don't know why they wouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Insert, you know, distinguished English actor that salt and pepper beard.
Well, like, you know, Patrick Stewart is all gray.
Uh-huh.
Ian McKellen, not English, but Mark Harmon on NCIS.
Yeah.
Has the totally white hair.
Fucking
Anderson Cooper. Mm-hmm. He looks damn good.
He's a fucking silver fox, man.
He is, man. He's fine.
And he's gay.
And he's gay. So, woohoo! There are plenty of... Sean Connery, if you want to go old school, he got voted People's Sexiest Man, and he was totally gray at the time.
Wow. Yeah. Don't worry too much about your hair color, kids.
Yeah.
So
your turn, I guess? I think.
I just read this long-ass email.
Did you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's your turn?
Totally.
All right. Let's see. What do we want to do here? Okay. Con Trouble. Greetings, O Naughty Ones. My name is Prism, the Black Fox, stranded in the middle of South Carolina with a bit of a problem. I had intended to attend FWA next weekend, but... Oh, sorry. I'm really clogged up with this weather. It's fucking killing me.
Yeah, it's also pretty late.
Yeah.
So...
I had intended to attend FWA next weekend, but have hit a bit of a snag with my lodging situation. You see, I have an aunt who lives on the outside of Atlanta who has a pretty large house that is only about 20 minutes from the Con Hotel and decided to stay there with two friends instead of paying for a hotel room. Save money, right? Before I go further, let me say I asked her about this 2 months ago to see if it was okay, and she said yes. Well, apparently, the curse of the adults of my family hearing what they want to hear struck again, as my aunt is now pissed at me saying that I lied to her about what con I was going to. Now, I will say that I didn't tell her it was a furry con. I said that it was an anime and cartoon and nerd con, since that is essentially what it is. Now, in not telling her that it was a furry con, she used Google and found an anime con in Atlanta the weekend before FWA, and assumed that I'd gotten a date wrong, and that was the one I was going to. She called to tell me I had the wrong weekend, so I gave her the website for FWA so that she could see for herself. About 10 minutes later, she calls me back crying, saying that if I can't be honest with her, that I can't use her house. Now I'm kind of stuck in the fact that I have nowhere to stay for the con, and neither do my friends. Now, she did say to call her back when I go on lunch later, and this will probably be my last chance to save this situation. Do y'all have any suggestions or arguments I could make to change her mind? And do not read the following part that's in quotes on air. Okay. A quick response would be very much appreciated. Ooh. P.S. I hope this is the right email address. Your lovely listener, Prism.
Well, sorry we didn't see this come in.
Well, it came in yesterday, so...
And this will go out tomorrow. So, you done goofed, son. When you're trying to get lodging for an event, and this is like... This is assuming that you are an adult in your own right, you live on your own, can make decisions for yourself. You don't really have to justify to anybody what kind of event you're going to. And you just say, I'm going to this con, and here it is. And I think that...
So you say just be upfront with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm coming in to say, hey, I'm coming into town for FWA, it's a furry con, can I use your guest bedroom? If they want to look up into it, sure. If they have questions, answer them truthfully. You know, they're going to be dumb questions, but you need to be able to answer them so that you avoid things like this in the future. I hope that you haven't really fucked it up and you're not going to be able to go to FCBA, because that's a pretty fun con, usually. Just... In the future, be more upfront with that kind of thing, especially when you're trying to ask a favor of somebody. honesty is the best policy, because anytime you do this with anybody, if they find out the reason you're using their whatever is under false pretenses, that's going to really hurt their feelings, and they're going to be less likely to help you in the future.
Yeah, at this point, I would just talk to her, answer any questions that she has. Okay, so it's not strictly anime, but you can still say, I mean, it does have something to do with cartoons. It's
still a nerd con.
It's a nerd con. There's a lot of artwork. There's a lot of comics for sale. You know, there's an artist guest of honor. Answer any questions that she has. Don't get into, like, the what you personally have as far as sexual interest in it, you know?
Because
she doesn't need to know that, you know? Just, if she asks anything crazy like, do you fuck animals? Is it a bestiality con or an underage fucking con or something like that? You can tell her, no, we're not pedos, we're not zoophiles, but, you know, she got no need to know about any particular sexual things that you're into.
Yeah. Yes, it's a furry con, and I'm going there to the vor party. I'm going to pretend to devour a mouse fursuiter who's actually twice my weight because it's hot.
Okay, you're disowned now.
Oh. That has been Roleplay Theater with Sovereign and Fuzzwolf. So, we got a couple more emails left, and we can wrap this up.
Alright.
Oh, look at this. It's a wall of text.
Not sure both the last ones are.
Yay. So, this is sent by somebody we know. Furry Fiesta Con Report 2013. This was sent yesterday. So, I figured I should send a corgi-based con report. I've had the pleasure of going to Furry Fiesta 2013. I've gone every year since its inception and have a lovely collection of convention ID tags. As a slight digression for the crew, what do you do with the official convention badges? I display them, which is reminiscent of how some men notched their bedposts in the 1970s and now proclaim their conquest with obtuse Facebook posts.
I have all mine in a Ziploc bag, which is inside one of my black convention bags with little backpacks that I got, I think, like MFM 1 year is a super sponsor thing. And up until recently, I had a separate Ziploc bag in that same bag that had all my drawing con badges of my character in there. And since moving into the house, I've now set up a thing on the door of one of the production room closets that has all my con badges hanging from this wire mesh that I made.
Yeah.
Because I thought it'd be cool to display them all. Because, I mean, I've got so many con badges over the years that, I've forgotten half of them, and you never get to see them, so.
Yeah, I have mine are all in my desk drawer. All the ones that are just regular attendee badges are on one or two rings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like you flip through them. It's like Oklacon and Anthrocon and Alcon and Acon and Con, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I've been to so many conventions. It's crazy. So I keep all of them, but like my Saffron badges and my Saffron badge. That I got at FWA 07 because somebody
skeet.
Somebody misinterpreted one of the badges that I had gotten earlier as a bat, so they drew me as a bat. And I was like, but I'm a Finnick. What the hell? Redraw this, please. And so I did. And so they did. And things were okay. It was one of those, wait a minute. This is wrong. And thus, Saffron, the extremely gay, like, Saffron
fruit robe-wearing
bat. Yes. He's a fruit bat. He just loves his bananas.
Nom nom.
Anyways, Furry Fiesta is a convention I look forward to every year. It is my favorite convention, with close second being Rainforest, and I'm always excited to attend. This year, I got to see the incredibly posh Casa de Fuzz, which was an added benefit. It's a great home. I got in on Thursday and left Monday, and it was not only a fun time, but a refreshing trip. I left energized and ready to do a lot of different tasks and finished several projects. I got to see a number of good furs at the convention, including the entire Notcast crew, which involved at least one conversation with each, including one geeky pony talk with Saverin, which was very fun. I sadly saw Sodalite, Magoozie, and Flatfoot Fox only briefly. Sparf and I got to hang out a bit, and I saw Zapnut too. It was great seeing Keo, Foxtrot, and Teal Fox, and I had a really fun talk with Buck Hopper, who is a genuinely entertaining guy. It was unfortunate that by Sunday night, a lot of people in my... A lot of people in my circle of friends and acquaintances got hit by serious cases of con crud. I was lucky not to get sick, but I know a lot of people were knocked up for the convention and afterwards.
Yep.
It is a shame that because Furry Fiesta was yet again... an extremely well-run convention. Not only is it well-managed and a lot of logistical work went off efficiently, but it was also fun. I know, talking to the staff, how hard they work, and I want to make it known how much I appreciate all that hard work. It looks seamless to a lot of attendees, but Furry Fiesta worked extremely hard to avoid problems. After a few bad convention experiences, I have really grown to appreciate how all the hard work pays off. As an attendee, I want to give a huge thanks to all of you for helping make this convention a truly fun and enjoyable time for everybody. Nothing to get in the way of a good time like an overly tedious line or a poorly handled emergency. As usual, I got to work at the Fur Planet table with Tyrion, Confused OO, and Fuzzwolf selling a number of their books, including The Incredible Summerhill, which everyone should purchase, which is next to the Blotch table. So I got to talk to Kael Gold a bit, who was signing books, and Rikoshi. The Blotch is always good to talk to, and I got an incredibly cute Corgi Plush from Port Stevie. The table was great fun, and as usual, and I love to be there. It's a great way to see a lot of friends and acquaintances, and I get to sell books I really liked reading, like Summerhill. The dealer's room was run extremely well, and Shiva, you should be commended for your work on that and your team. Not only efficient and capable, but personable, and that really makes for a good room. I also got to go to a few room parties before I pumpkined, and as everybody has now nicknamed my unfortunate habit of falling asleep after 10. The biggest regret is that I, yet again, didn't plan things as well as I should have, and I missed a few events of friends that I wanted to do, like playing Star Wars RPG. It's a shame that we had to leave the hotel Furry Fiesta got a start in. I really do love the hotel, but I agree it's time to leave the convention. It's time to leave the convention has gotten too big for the smaller space. Okay, I did read that sentence right.
Yes.
That said, the hotel has a lot of nice features like the bar, where everyone liked to hang out. I think everyone will miss the staff. Still, I can't wait for next year's location and what comes next for Furry Fiesta. And that was Zia.
Zia.
McCorvey. It was good to see him, and he is an extremely capable sales corgi.
Yes, he is. Did he get you to buy anything from me this year?
I had no money.
And I didn't, no time. I don't even know if you went into the dealer's
room. I went to dealer's room, I think, three times.
Mm-hmm.
Once on Friday to make sure my parents were set up.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was good.
Yep.
Which Shiva made sure it was.
Good.
I can count on her. I was there on Saturday once to say hi to them at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I walked in there as the den was closing and saw them as they were covering up their things for the night. Said hi, I gave them a hug, and they told me the sales were good.
Yep.
And then Sunday, I saw them as they were loading out and heading home. that was the entirety. I walked through the dealer's den once. For, like, reels, where everyone was around it. Even then, that was, like, on Friday, so mm-hmm. Not everybody was there.
Oh, geez. I didn't even walk around the dealer's room this year.
You walked, like, in the door, to the right, to your table. That's it. That's where you stayed.
Pretty much, yeah. And I saw your parents when we were all waiting in our cars to load out. They said they had a very good weekend, so that's good. They did well.
They did about a third more than they expected.
Fantastic.
And then vet bills.
Huh?
And then vet bills.
Oh,
my family cannot ever, 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 ever catch a break.
Crazy. I know, it sucks. I feel really bad for your family sometimes because it's like you guys have had just bad luck a lot, you know?
It's pretty permanent.
And it's all through, like, no fault of your own, you know? Just like sick dog. Breaks. What are you going to do?
Dog gets cancer.
Some asshole vandalizes your car. I mean, I don't know, dude. You guys pissed somebody off in a former life, I guess.
Oh, man. Was I Hitler? That would suck.
That would suck. But at least
that's why I have this horrible mustache.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
But
But yeah,
I don't know what it was about Fiesta this year, but we did better than we did last year too.
Yeah, and
we did good last year as well. So
here's the deal, and this is crazy, but I had heard from multiple people that Fiesta was better con for them than FC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is twice the size of Fiesta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the dealer's den is roughly the same size.
Yeah,
so. How does that work?
Now, FC's no slouch. We did pretty damn good there. It was our best FC to date. But then we turned around and did even more at Fiesta a month later.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying so, that FC is shitty or anything.
Yeah,
But it's just really weird to hear people say they did way better in some cases at...
It's like Anthrocon is a great con because it's massive. FC, good dealing con. For some reason, Furry Fiesta, for its size, is just ludicrously successful as far as selling.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think also because we have a big population of first-time congoers the last couple of years, I think there's a lot of folks in the central part of the country that don't go to the other cons.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, if you don't... everything that we release from FWA on, it's never been at Fiesta before. And if you don't go to a lot of other cons, you haven't seen us at a lot of other cons. So you come in there, and the shit that we released at Anthrocon 8 months earlier is still new to you.
Mm-hmm.
And people pick it up.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a lot, like, for FunnyCon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're counting a lot of the people that don't travel to the East or West Coast because that's where all the other cons are.
Yeah, there hasn't been a big pony con like in the center of the country, really.
There's going to be one in Houston and there's going to be mine. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's one in Omaha, Nebraska here in 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that one. And then there's one a little bit later in like Kansas City, Missouri, which is also going to be real small.
And those are all more kind of central.
Yeah, but south central.
Yeah, because we get all the Oklahoma. I know I said Oklahoma people. The Oklahoma people, Louisiana, Arizona, New Mexico.
And never mind the fact that there's like 6.5 million people living in DFW.
Texas has like, what did you say, the second largest
concentration.
Yeah.
Behind California.
God knows how many furries. Probably about the same. It's probably California and Texas. Mm-hmm. I think back in the day, it was Cali, Texas, and Florida had the largest populations of furries.
Yeah. And so, it makes sense just by, sheer logistical. Because, L.A. and San Francisco, those are huge, 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 huge areas.
Yeah.
With millions and millions of people. And DFW is 6.5 million people.
Yeah.
And has... a 30,000 person
anime con, yeah,
and massive, huge, stonking comic cons. So I think probably that we can hopefully get 1,000 people to come show up with 3 days a day of 1 day passes.
Mm-hmm.
One would hope.
I think Furry Fiesta is rapidly moving towards basically being the central U.S. next. Midwest Fur Fest.
Hey, here's the deal. Midwest Fur Fest is way the fuck up in Chicago.
Yeah. So I'm just saying for size comparison. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you got your 4 points.
North, south, east, west, right.
We're totally happy to become that con.
Yeah.
Because, I know after this year. And it's weird, right? So I've been doing the con for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... After this con, I felt more energized to make sure that next year is even better.
Cool.
Because I was like, this went really fucking smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yes. Let's keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and make our con better and better.
Uh-huh.
It's cool.
And it doesn't hurt that I'm helming my own fucking event. Oh my god. Help me now.
You must be really dedicated to the con scene.
I am, in a way. I really like to see these events kind of go. And I've already had a couple of the other BronyCons ask me to consult.
Really?
Yeah.
They're cool. Like,
wait, you've done cons for this long and you know how this shit... Please help.
Yes, because I'm a furry and furries know how to run fucking conventions.
Yep. what we do.
That was probably the problem with Las Pegasus. They probably didn't have enough furries on staff.
Nope. Well, that they had like, well, people of questionable business experience.
Mm.
But yeah, that's the thing. When it comes to the con scene, the furries, and not to knock the Trekkies or the Star Wars fans, because they've been doing it longer than we have.
Yeah.
But the furries have gotten the non-fandom-specific convention scene down to a fucking T.
Mm. And I think it's because in the latter, like, even early, furries started off as a very scattered community and only congregating once or twice a year for a convention, and that was the place where you could finally meet people in real life.
You only talk to you via text, via the BBSs, or over the phone.
Yeah, or via exchange letters via APAs that, you know, are like once a year or something like that. And then furry really, really exploded once the internet took off. And because we're such an online and long distance based kind of community, cons are where it's at.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for a lot of nerds, that's where it's at, you know. The comic book store is a congregation place is long since passed, unfortunately. Mm. And the stores that do exist are so packed full of product that they don't have, like, a social space.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I remember back in the day when I lived in Florida, like, the comic shop there had, or at least the storefront next door as well, and that was just full of tables for when they do gaming nights.
Well, that was like, oh man, back in the day, there was this kick-ass anime/comic shop called Anime Shotokan.
Mm-hmm.
Not Shotokan, Shotokan.
What's the difference in spelling?
Shotokan is little boy loli type porn.
Like, right.
Shotokan is something else.
Oh, it's an A and this is an O.
Yeah, okay, anyways, right. No, it was an anime. It was an anime/comic shop. It started out as, it was in this dilapidated old ass shopping center with like nothing all nearby, so they had a really sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
They started in a pretty small space. They got big. They had a whole community set up. Then they got bigger. The next door to them was an old dentist office. They took over and occupied that. They had a back room, which used to be like the surgery suite, but they converted into a LAN gaming room.
Mm-hmm.
They had Xboxes all cooked up. They had DVD rentals. They had a viewing room. They had a card gaming room. They had comics and toys and cards and hero clicks for a time after a... they had a number of arcade machines. It was crazy awesome. It was one of the most awesome damn stores. And then they moved into the biggest available space and it got a little ghetto. But even then, it was a large open space that still had all the DVDs and some of the stuff. Then sadly, it closed. It was unfortunate. The owner got married and moved off.
Fuck.
And it was like, what? This was part of my social structure, you cunt. How dare you chase after pussy and get married?
God.
You have abandoned the nerds.
One of my regular comic shops, back in Florida, the dude sold it to somebody else, and I was like, what the fuck happened? It was like, he found out he could make more money at a real job.
Oh.
And he went and took his accounting background degree and got a job for some accounting firm. And part of the reason was he got married and he wanted to have a kid.
Oh.
And the barely scraping by owning a comic shop income wasn't enough.
No, it's not.
He had to go get a quote-unquote real job.
Well, like, and that's the thing. My local comic shop that I go to that's closest is Keith's Comics. And it is a tiny little spit of a store.
It really is. I've been in there before. We bought some of our short boxes in there for our stuff.
Yeah, I've gotten short and long boxes from in the past, card boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up my monthly array of comics from them.
Cool.
I
guess it is the closest comic shop to us here, right?
And the other one is, I think, Atlas or Zeus. It's the one on Forest and Webb Chapel near the movie theater down there,
mm-hmm.
but all the construction is super fucked.
Oh, right.
And to get to it, I either have to cross 635,
mm-hmm.
south on Marsh, or I have to go cross under 635 at Webb Chapel, and it's just a clusterfuck of traffic, and it's disgusting to get through.
Mm.
So I'm just going to Keith's because it's way closer.
Yeah.
That's but even on then,
Midway, right?
No, that's it's at Forest and...
No, Keith's.
Keith's is on Midway and Trinity Mills.
Right, okay.
Next to, there's like Panda Express and McDonald's and all there. It's sort of in the back. But the people there are friendly, and they say they've been... the guy that runs it and his wife have been doing it for like 24 years.
Cool.
But I mean, even the one at Webb Chapel and Forest, you know, it's a big store. They've got tons of stuff, the statues, the trade paperbacks,
mm-hmm.
tons of comics, tons of back issues, signed art, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of social space.
Yeah, that used to be a big thing.
Yeah.
Mm. It's the same with, there's another big comic shop, the flagship store, Lone Star Comics. It's mm-hmm. over in the,
I want to say
the Mock, no, it's not Arlington. It's over, like the Mock, not Mockingbird, like the Mockingbird, Lover's Lane, like east of 75 and south a little bit. Not too far from that first apartment that I lived in over by Garland.
Oh, way over there?
Over by, like, the Northwest Highway kind of.
Oh, wow. Area. That's way the fuck out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, southeast Dallas. And their flagship store is out there. And it's a pretty big store. I actually got some Doctor Who figures from them back in the day.
It's just the nature of the stores, because we're really getting off topic here. But when it comes to...
Yeah.
There was that one, the Gamers Realm or whatever, that was on Coit, north of Beltline.
I vaguely remember.
Did
you and Tesser used to go there?
Me and Tesser and Fluff and Isti and a number of other people.
You guys made that a spot for a little while, I think.
Then they closed down.
And they weren't really around very long.
No, they weren't.
Like, less than a year?
They invested a lot of money into that store, though, too.
Yeah.
But it was ultimately building fire code violations that the owner should have fixed that got them shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so they got screwed, and they never reopened.
That sucks.
Yeah, because it was a fun space.
I never visited it, but I heard so many people speak very positively.
Oh, it was a great little space. They had social space. They had tables so people could play. They had a Warhammer table.
Mm-hmm.
They had two tables set up for card gaming. So you could buy the cards or buy the board game there, play it there.
I guess I'm assuming that works pretty well.
I guess. I mean, it's just...
There's also, you ever go to the DGM? The Dallas Games Marathon?
It's never on a night that I'm free.
Oh, okay.
But I know that Tiering goes, and it sounds like a really mm-hmm. fun time.
Yeah, he really enjoys it. I don't know if you're as into gaming as he is, like that kind of gaming.
I enjoy board gaming with the crew we normally play with.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that it's in good fun and that we've played games together for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be like, in your face, motherfucker!
No one's going to table flip, rage quit.
Yeah. I mean, even though I like Tyrion usually wins because he's really good at those kind of games.
Tyrion has said that, like, that doesn't really seem to happen at DGM, though. Like, maybe it's a more mature crowd, a bit paying for entry, weeds out some of the assholes. But he was telling me the story. I might have told you guys it, too, that, like, they're playing Battlestar Galactica. And there was a guy... They had a hoverer. There's a dude who wasn't playing any game. It just came up, stood kind of behind Tyrion and another person,
and
just hovered, and fucking told. Their gaming group had a rules discussion because sometimes you have to clarify something in a game. And this guy started telling them how they were doing something wrong and they should do it like this. And they're like, we'd already kind of mutually agreed that rule was stupid and we weren't going to listen to it. And it's like,
you're like, hey,
fuck off, dude. Why are you hovering and critiquing the way we're playing?
It's like, we're playing a game and you're not.
It's like, we're playing a game. We're having fun. You're being a rude asshole.
Fuck off.
Stay out of here critiquing our fun. Yeah. Fuck off.
You know, and I think, you know, Fiesta, when it comes to the to the social space, we have all those board games.
Mm-hmm.
And I, unfortunately, that's a very hands-off aspect. I'm more concerned about making sure that none of our electronics walk.
Mm-hmm.
And board games are a lot more replaceable.
Yeah.
But I really hope that is still, like, a thing for people. They can bust out any one of our board games and play. Because I know Tyrion, a couple years, brought a couple boxes of his and played them. And
yeah,
people played nice.
It was a little difficult for him to do that this year because I was working Friday.
Yeah.
If I had been available all 3 days, there would have been a day where he could have gone and gamed while Buck and I worked the table. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just know that that's – I consider that a very important part of
mm-hmm.
the convention.
Way off topic, but you'll want to check the forum because there's a thread that another staffer started about gaming. And I was like, I'm thinking you should probably take a look at that because that's kind of your area.
Okay.
Somebody else is trying to suggest starting something up. You should at least have some input.
It's like, yeah. That. You want to start something up, you should maybe ask the guy that's been running it since year one. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, and it was some kind of, like, I think actual RPG sessions was what he was looking for.
Oh, well, that's fine if you want to run it. Yeah, that's one of those things where people are like, hey, I want to run this. Then run it.
There's that other room that was just, remember, like, the Keo's volunteer table used to be in that room, and it was the room where you had all the...
It was in Chinaberry, large panels.
Do we still have that room?
That's where we did the live show.
I mean, do you still have that room for random gaming that's not in the video game room?
Mm, that's in the corral.
Oh, right. Okay, right.
Social gaming is in corral, which is also where the con suite is, and apparently internet room. It's all that one-stop shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Check your email, play some board games, get some cheesy poofs,
mm-hmm.
wander on to the next thing.
Yeah. I'm sure it won't be as one-stop shop in a new place because we'll have a lot more space to deal with. But
well,
I kind of like that setup.
I know that I have that space here come November, but we won't have internet or our con suite to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're like, that's really expensive.
Uh-huh.
And,
buy your own damn food.
Yeah.
There are still... Note to furries attending conventions, the con suite is not a free restaurant.
Nope.
It's for a quick snack, a quick power-up to get you to your next meal. There was apparently, I think it was at Fiesta a couple years ago, some douchebag picked up the entire big, like, 3-gallon container of Cheesy Poofs and sat it in his lap and just started eating out of the jar.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it was like, you're supposed to, like, scoop a scoop out, put it into a little styrofoam bowl and take that.
They have fucking tongs this year.
Yeah. This dude picked up the whole fucking jar. The big plastic jars of Cheesy Poofs.
Jeez. What an asshole.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Jeddar and Lath are enough to be like, get the fuck out. Give me that.
I hope they beat him with wiffle bats.
Or licorice whips.
Yeah.
It's kinky and delicious. Oh, God. Only if it's red vines, because black licorice is shit.
Oh, God. You know what's so funny? After Fiesta, we now have 2 full bottles of Jaeger in our wet bar. And it's like, I fucking hate black licorice, so I hope Tyrion drinks it.
Oh, man. I can't. Speaking of Jaeger... If I have, like, 2 shots of that shit, it knocks me the fuck out.
Yeah.
I can't drink it. Shit. Okay, this is... Welcome to the tail end of the show where we're, like, tired and just rambly. Remember last Anthrocon where we were at the Sofa Wolf party?
Uh-huh.
And that dude was mixing orange juice and Jaeger?
Yeah, that was...
That was actually pretty good shit.
Yeah.
But it fucked you up pretty fast, too.
Oh, I don't remember what I had, but is that what you had?
I had, like, 2
so,
of the little red cups of it, where it's, like, 1 ounce, like, half an ounce into orange juice, and it was slightly orangely off. But.
So, what was funny about that was, that's Night Fox, and I never know what to, I didn't know what all they had in the bar there, so I was like, oh, just make me whatever. And later on, Buck told me what a mistake I'd made, because he's like, you just asked not only a German to make you whatever, you asked the German that works for Jaeger to make you whatever. And I was like, oh, fuck, I totally forgot.
Whatever.
But,
excellent.
Yeah. But no, he made me something good that didn't fuck me up. So
oh, yeah.
He's pro. It's all good.
I think after that one, we went down to another room party, right? No, we went down to the artist reception.
Yeah, and
all the cookies were gone.
That's right. Yeah, we always get there late. I actually more enjoy hanging out and chatting with friends.
Oh, yeah. It was more fun to talk to hobnob with, well, the people we hobnobbed with.
Yeah.
Than go and stare at fan art and questionable statuettes.
Why do they have hooves when they're anthro?
That's a statuette of Peggy from Goof Troop.
Was there?
It was actually, this was at FC.
Okay.
Me and Flan, we wandered through there just once,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of get eyes on what was there. Uh-huh. And one of the things in the adult art thing was a figurine of Peggy from Goof Troop.
Naked, I'm assuming.
No, she was in black lingerie and garters.
Oh, okay. That's so much better.
I think she had a riding crop. And I was like, is she really, like, that much of, like, a MILFy character? If you're going to go for a Disney MILF, go with Rebecca from Tailspin. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking this weird place, dude.
Oh, shit. It's like, Tailspin was, like, my proto-furry days, you know? I was like,
you're con, busting out them claws.
Yeah. I still remember that sound that he makes, like, in the opening
1920s. 1937 pulp fiction, pulp adventure,
noir
art deco kinda. Cartoon.
Yeah.
That was a...
It was diesel punk, man.
Yeah.
Before diesel punk was a thing.
And it's one of those things that I wish they would, like, revisit that.
Yeah.
And I could see them making another series along the same vein, except I don't, because Disney shut down all their 2D animation studios.
Didn't they bring it back?
No.
Recently, I thought?
No. There was a recent thing where they were like, yeah, we've canceled any remaining 2D, and it's all going to be 3D from now on, because 3D's the future. And I'm like, no, you fuckers!
They need to just sell the rights to Tailspin to somebody and be like, you know, because someone else will make it cool again.
Who would I want to do that?
Bunch of furries? We'll start a Kickstarter.
Tailspin 2.0. And then they find out how fucking much animation costs.
We just want to make the Yiffy change. Oh!
Tailspin! Oh, Don Carnage has captured us. Whatever is he going to do?
Knock, knock, knock. Did you bust a nut, Papa Bear?
Kip, don't look. This is going to get weird. He's like, oh.
So.
And then Kip got really confused.
Kit, not Kip.
Kit.
So what we're going to take away from this show is that Tailspin was awesome.
Yes, Tailspin was awesome. Comic book stores were better back in the day. And don't use things that aren't lube to rub your dick with.
Right. And Furry Fiesta is a great con.
Fuck yeah. I think we're just going to shelve this last email because it's midnight.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
And we've just rambled for like the last half. And if there's anybody listening, congratulations. You get a gold star.
It's like the end of a really long live journal entry when the person passive-aggressively remarks, if you read all that, then you're my real friends, or something like that.
Whatever. If you listen to all this, you must have had a very long commute. Because you and I, we just shoot the shit and just record conversations with our friends.
Was that another gun pun?
No.
Shoot the shit?
Nope.
That's how we clean the outhouse in Texas. We shoot the shit. Bam! We don't want it to get out of there. Turn into a giant old poop monster and just draw the town.
Remember, you know, poop golems can make sure you have something blessed, and even if it's golf clubs.
That's right. Man, we got to watch.
George Carlin is a Catholic priest. What the fuck?
Oh, that was perfect.
That was the best part.
Yes.
And the fact that he was interviewed on that Kevin was interviewed on the news protesting his own movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Dick is yummy.
So, on that note.
Good night. And Kevin Smith is Severin, spirit animal.
God.